Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org.
This is your moment. This is your moment. I've come to declare this is your moment. Your moment.
I believe that every moment that you send into my life is meant to be an opportunity for me to become what you've made me to be. And I won't miss my moment.
The voice of Stephen Furtig. Pastor of Elevation Church. They're famous for being one of the edgiest, fastest growing churches in the South. He's one of those rock star pastors. And when I say rock star pastor, I mean more than just someone who you know, whose image you recognize. He's kind of one of the men of the hour, one of the young guys that's coming up and is hobnobbing with, I should say, evangelical royalty nowadays, Stephen Furtig. His church boasts hundreds to thousands of baptisms every year. How are they doing it? Joining us to talk about Stephen Furtig and Elevation Church's playbook for spontaneous baptisms, Chris Roseborough. Chris has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How is Furtig and Elevation Church getting these, really, hundreds to thousands of baptisms, they claim, every year?
He's manipulating people using group psychology and kind of groupthink tactics in order to manufacture these miraculous numbers. It's plain and simple. He doesn't leave anything to chance. It's carefully orchestrated. In fact, one person has described it as the Disneyification. You know, if that's even a word of baptizing, and it's actually extremely alarming and very disturbing. You know, what's really going on behind the scenes there in order to manufacture these numbers.
It's alarming to, and this is occasioned by an article and kind of a report that was issued by a Southern Baptist gentleman who said, look, at least ostensibly, Elevation and Furtig are Southern Baptist. And even from their perspective on baptism, they find something extremely problematic about how the baptisms are encouraged in a service. What did he discover?
Well, the idea here is this, is that, you know, they've come up with this thing, they call it spontaneous baptisms, although from the point of view of Elevation Church, there's nothing spontaneous about it. So, you know, let's say that next week Stephen Furtig decided that he was going to organize the forces there at Elevation Church to host another spontaneous baptism event. Everybody, you know, from Stephen Furtick down to the guy working the soundboard and everybody in between and all the volunteers, they're all organized for the spontaneous baptism, which means that the people showing up at Elevation Church don't know that they're going to be called upon to, you know, to come and be baptized. And so everything is orchestrated down, you know, Stephen Furtick has his best motivational, you need to make the decision to finally come and be obedient and be baptized, you know, speech worked out, you know, so that people are pumped up and emotionally motivated to make this decision. But on top of that, what they do there at Elevation Church is they seed the audience with people who are in the know about what's going on. And what will happen is that once Stephen Furtick has made his best appeal to get people to make this decision, on cue, the people who are seated in the audience will stand up and start to make their way down to the bottom, you know, where the baptismal tanks are set up, to kind of lead the way. And what it happens so fast, and they're so enthusiastic because this is what they're coached to do, that it creates kind of a group think mentality that people then get swept up in. So if you're there and you're thinking, well, I don't know if I want to be baptized or not, you look at the kid next to you. I mean, he, as soon as on cue, he stands up and starts, you know, energetically making his way down there to be baptized. You're thinking, well, if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so the idea is everything's carefully orchestrated in such a way to manipulate the people and their emotions to get them swept up in the moment. And in getting swept up in the moment, they find themselves now, you know, down making a decision to participate in a spontaneous baptism. And for those who are, that wasn't enough for them, what they've done then is they've carefully orchestrated such things in such a way now that the Elevation video crew is down there, and there's people who are looking for young, good-looking, energetic people with good stories and kind of interviewing people as they're waiting in line for, you know, to get baptized. And if their story is compelling enough and the person looks good on camera, they put a black wristband around their wrist. And then and what'll happen then is that, you know, then they'll show that person up on the big jumbotron in the, you know, in the church, more like auditorium, and their story is told, and then they might even have them stand up with a, you know, with a poster, you know, up on the stage. And so everything is geared in such a way that the best looking people with the best stories and the most energetic or whatever are featured as part of the event to kind of keep the hype and the emotional manipulation going, to the point where at the end of it, you know, people, you know, who may have been sitting on the fence find themselves, okay, I'll go get baptized, and so they've miraculously, spontaneously manipulated, you know, 3,000 people to get baptized through these coercive, manipulative techniques.
Now, you've been watching Steve Furtig for a long time. I imagine none of this surprises you. Give us an introduction to the man as you've come to know him, and to what he, kind of this blatant technique of manipulation that he uses not only in this case, but others.
Stephen Furtick is a master at marketing. He is an extremely driven individual, and that might even be putting it lightly. He's obsessed with success. He's obsessed with the numbers. He really believes he has a vision from God, and that that everybody at Elevation Church needs to be organized under his vision as the visionary. And, you know, I hate to put it this way, but I think what we may be seeing with Stephen Furtick is not just the rise of a megachurch pastor, but based on his psychology and the manipulation techniques, the unconscionable things that he does. I mean, he has no conscience about this stuff at all. And we may actually be seeing the rise of somebody who might be a cult leader more than just a megachurch pastor.
Why do you say that?
Well, along with a lot of the press that's been going on regarding the spontaneous baptisms, which, you know, in and of itself tells you something about the man. Yesterday the internet was abuzz with the fact that the Elevation Church has created a coloring book called the Code Coloring Book that is literally designed to indoctrinate the kids at Elevation Church in the code. And one of the pages that's really kind of extremely alarming is the coloring book itself is all about Stephen Furtick. It's not about Jesus. It's about Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick moving to Charlotte, North Carolina. Stephen Furtick, who met with these other leaders, you know, and somebody who's associated with Billy Graham. Stephen Furtick, who's the visionary leader, and it literally teaches these kids that they are united under the visionary leader who's received a vision from God, and that they will basically defend that vision, and these kids are being indoctrinated into it. You know, and I think back to when my kids were of the age when, you know, they would sit in the pew and would, you know, have coloring pages provided at our churches that we would go to. All of the coloring pages were about Jesus, but not so with Elevation Church. The coloring pages that they're coloring in at Elevation Church aren't about Jesus; they're about Stephen Furtick, and that is something that is beyond just troubling. That is something that shows that the focus of Elevation Church isn't on Christ. The focus of Elevation Church is on Stephen Furtick, and he can do no wrong. And the fact that people at Elevation Church would participate knowing, you know, that, hey, I'm going to volunteer to be part of the spontaneous baptism, and I'm going to sit in the audience in order to manipulate people to come be baptized, and they don't feel guilt about this, they don't see that this is manipulation, that Stephen Furtick could ask this of them, and they would just loyally obey him and go along with it. from the volunteers to the people on staff, everybody who's in the know as to what's going on, and they can do this without any pangs of conscience or guilt. Now you start to cross the line into a cult mindset and cult mentality. This is more than just a charismatic leader at this point.
Chris Rosebrough is our guest. We're talking about Stephen Furtig and Elevation Church's playbook for what they call spontaneous baptisms. Chris is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Come to Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, February 21st and 22nd for the Making Disciples Conference, a conference for Lutheran laity and clergy on the role of liturgy and catechesis in making disciples of all nations. Pastor Matt Richard from Gwinner, North Dakota, and Pastor James May, missionary to Africa, will look at how the Church's liturgy and catechesis are vital for making disciples of people in any place or time. February 21st and 22nd, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Call 618-632-6906 or go to makingdisciplesconference.weebly.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Rosebrough is our guest. On this Thursday afternoon, February the 20th, we're talking about Steve Furtig and Elevation Church's playbook for what they call spontaneous baptisms. Now, this is really kind of the more egregious symptom of a kind of greater technique. You mentioned marketing. That's a very neutral way of talking about it. But the manipulation that is kind of the bread and butter of what happens at Elevation has been deeply concerning for people, I know, including yourself, Chris, long before you discovered there are shills in the audience who are, you know, pretending to go up and be baptized. What are your deeper concerns here?
Well, when you take a look at kind of like the warp and woof of the message that Stephen Furtick gives and what it is that's reinforced as important, Stephen Furtick has kind of come up with a... It's a light version of the prosperity message, and it's akin to it, but it's different. And the things that it addresses are not kind of like the crass desire for wealth and prosperity that we see in traditional Word of Faith prosperity teachers. Instead, it really kind of plays on the emotions and angst and difficulties of young Americans, not people who are well established in their careers, but people who are just coming out of high school and college, and the problems and issues that they have. And the idea then is that, in fact, the way I described it to one person was this. I said that you know, whereas a professional adult is concerned with more mature issues, a younger person who's just come out of high school has spent, you know, the past, you know, 8-10 years playing video games and doing things like, well, they've conquered kingdoms or destroyed evil beasts and done all of these things in a virtual world. And then when they leave the video game world, they look at normal life in America and they go, is this all that it really has to offer me? Is that I get to go to college, work a minimum wage job at, you know, a fast food restaurant, and then climb the corporate ladder and find myself working in a cubicle for the rest of my life? You know, there's got to be more to this. And so Stephen Furtick kind of appeals to people who have those types of thoughts. The younger person who thinks, I don't want to spend the rest of my life doing something meaningless, and so I need to have some meaning to my life. And so Stephen Furtick comes along and says, listen, God has some huge plan for your life, and it's ginormous, but you have to step out in audacious faith in order to seize that God-sized dream. And so his message appeals to these people and basically pumps up their egos and say, listen, the Bible's all about you. You can be just like David slaying a Goliath. You can be like as important as Moses, and God's got a big dream for your life just like Moses. And so you need to find a way to achieve this. And so everything is kind of geared towards reading yourself into the Bible, into the epic stories with the underlying presupposition that your life is going to be as epic as Elijah, as Moses, as Jesus himself. And this is the kind of message that he conveys, so that people are despising ordinary vocations in loving and serving their neighbor as husband, as wife, as employee. Instead, they're off chasing after these ginormous dreams that they're supposed to have for your life. And he's the guy who's spinning this out there. And of course, he's the part of the reason why the code is so important at Elevation is because Stephen Furtick is the guy who's lived that himself. He comes from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, which is nowhere, and he was a nobody, and now look at him. You have people downloading his messages by the millions all over the world, and he's the guy who has defined what it means to have audacious faith and to have some huge, ginormous, plan that God wants to use you in some epic, proportional kind of way. And that's really his appeal. And the problem is that that's not biblical Christianity. In fact, it's teaching people to despise the real, humble teachings of Christ and to stick yourself in the center of Scripture.
What role does Jesus, if any at all, play in Furtick's odd theology?
He's the one giving the vision. You can look at Jesus's life and kind of look at, you know, at his example as a way to follow. And of course, one of their favorite verses is that Jesus said, "You'll do greater things than him." Well, if Jesus says you're going to do greater things than him, and remember, he walked on water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. Jesus says you're going to do greater than him. So what they look at Jesus as kind of like the guy who sets the example with the idea that you're going to do greater than him. So, and they, of course, they're twisting that passage. And so that means that you're going to have some epic dream, of biblical proportions thing for your life that God wants to give you.
Now, put this all together for us, Chris, because what you have now is a guy who is, he has been received into the echelons of evangelical circles of kind of I'm going to call them the elder statesmen. Steve Furtick is still kind of a young punk, but he has been received into the circle of the elder statesmen of American evangelicalism, mm-hmm. And including the likes of T.D. Jakes that he claims is one of his primary mentors, a man who openly denies the Trinity. What do you think the future of this is for the broader swath of American Christianity if Stephen Furtick is considered the future?
He's not only the future of evangelicalism, his message and his appeal is, it really has the potential to become the mainstream within the broader evangelicalism. I think that Stephen Furtick is on his way, unless he has some major moral failing. He is on his way to being bigger than Joel Osteen. being, you know, I can see a day coming when people will refer to Stephen Furtick as America's visionary pastor, you know, that type of thing. That's how dangerous this is, because the type of Christianity he promotes is belligerently hostile to Orthodox, basic garden variety historical Christianity. In fact, Furtick is very open about the fact that artifact way of looking at Christianity is a museum piece, and he's basically casting a new vision for Christianity for a new generation that connects with them. So he's very open about the fact he's militantly working against and preaching a message that is hostile to the historic Orthodox Christian faith.
Well, and when you say belligerent or militant, I mean, all you need to do is watch one of his sermons. He openly mocks Christians. He openly mocks Christians who think that they're there in his church to learn about the Bible or to grow in grace. Belligerent is hardly the term.
Yeah, I'm trying to be somewhat diplomatic here. the idea is, yeah, I think belligerent is putting it nicely. But you know, this is a man who in fact, on my radio program, I think he's actually issued a restraining order against the historic Jesus, because the biblical Jesus is not welcome at Elevation Church, and those who believe and confess the historic biblical Jesus are really not welcomed either. They're not only mocked, they're belittled, and they find themselves pushed out of that church in very blunt and demeaning ways. And so, you know, he's literally raising up an entire generation of young people, because he's really shooting for the younger crowd, and teaching them to have that same disdain and open mockery of anything that's old or traditional or anything that has to do with the historic faith. They are the new audacious generation. He's got a vision from God. They're behind the visionary, and they believe that by following Stephen's vision, they're following God and what God really wills to do with this next generation.
And with only about a minute before we take our next break, those who have a problem with Furtick's vision, what of them?
Their favorite term for them, they're haters. And you don't want to be a hater, is because you'll find yourself at the other end of Stephen Furtick's outburst. And so, they constantly run down anybody who's a critic and internally get rid of them. I mean, you're not allowed to vocalize any kind of, disloyalty to Stephen Furtick and remain at Elevation Church.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about Stephen Furtick and Elevation Church's playbook for spontaneous baptisms on this Thursday afternoon, February the 20th. This break is a great time to call if you got a quick question or comment for Chris on the subject, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can also send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. A few more minutes with Chris Roseborough, then Pastor James May will join us. We're going to talk about Lutheran missions in particular in Africa, but what makes for a Lutheran missions, period. When we come back from the break, after a few minutes of conversation remaining with Chris Roseborough, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet @issuesetc. We will be right back.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Stephen Furtick and Elevation Church's playbook for spontaneous baptisms. Chris Rosebrough is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Chris Rosebrough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California. He's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. And he's also backed by popular demand this year at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer here in Collinsville, Illinois. Chris is going to be making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures. Chris, what can you tell us about your presentation this summer?
Well, I'm going to take three to four of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the texts themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. The Bible isn't about you, it's about what Jesus has done for you. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Folks, you can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 13th and 14th here in Collinsville, Illinois, at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Chris, you're talking here about the future of a church like Elevation with Stephen Furtick. Take Furtick out of the formula. Does Elevation continue to exist?
Absolutely not. There's no way that it can. This is an organization that you can't bring in somebody who even remotely can try to preach and teach biblical Christianity to this audience. They would disappear. And their loyalty really, and that's the sad thing about Elevation Church, their loyalty isn't really to Jesus. Their loyalty is to Stephen Furtick. He's the draw. They're there to hear him. He's teaching his own theology and doctrine, and they're enraptured by him. You take him out of the mix, Elevation Church folds within a year easily.
For Furtick, this creates, as you've said here, kind of the completely shameless, without conscience, kind of Machiavellian personality that he seems to proudly display to so many. What does it cultivate among his loyal followers?
Kind of a desire to reproduce and become just like him. My concern is not for Elevation Church should Stephen Furtick, something happened to him and he's no longer there. My concern is that the longer he's there, he's going to reproduce people who have the same mindset that he has, who believe they're receiving visions from God, and they're going to go to other churches or plant churches with the same mindset and idea as Stephen Furtick. And as a result of it, kind of like a weed, that has those little seed pods that pop up, these people are like little Stephen Furtick seeds. They're going to be blown into the wind of the mainstream of evangelicalism, and we're going to see a whole bunch of little Stephen Furticks cropping up all over the place. Should that happen, oh man, the church is going to take it, centuries in order to recover from that.
Somebody says, look, Chris, Furtick is obviously the extreme example here, the manipulation, the blatant kind of chicanery that we've recently discovered about their baptisms. And my pastor, it's not a cult of personality, but my pastor does talk a lot about the vision he's received from God. But he's not obnoxious. He's a very nice guy. What do you say?
Already he's obnoxious, and I would disagree with the major premise of the statement. Here's the deal. Anybody who claims to be receiving a direct vision from God, you have to understand something at this point. All real visions that truly come from God are authoritative and binding, that go all the way up to the very throne room of God himself. To question or challenge the vision is not to question the visionary, it's to question God himself. And so you have to understand that's how it is with people claiming to be receiving prophetic visions. So it doesn't matter if he's nice about it or not, just question the vision. Just question that he got it from God, and you'll find out just how nice he is when they throw you out of the church and issue a restraining order against you. Because it doesn't matter how nice they are, these are people who are claiming nothing less than true prophetic status for themselves, and to question them is to question God, and that's always what happens in those cases.
Do you think that with the revelation of his manipulation there in the baptism incident, his congregation is going to give him a pass?
Of course, absolutely. In Stephen Furtick's world, the ends always justify the means, and his disciples at the church have been indoctrinated into that mindset. It's really not going to phase very many people at all. The one thing it might have the ability to do, though, because Stuart Watson in Charlotte, who is the investigative reporter who's been doing these series of reports on Stephen Furtick, it might have the ability to inoculate people against Furtick so that they wouldn't become victims otherwise. It might slow down their growth rate, but I don't see very many people from Furtick's church being upset or even seeing that there's a problem with any of this.
With only about 30 seconds, a response here to Daryl in Oklahoma City, who says Furtick's baptismal playbook is like the new measures of the 19th century Charles Finney, but perhaps more controlling. With about 30 seconds, your thoughts there, Chris?
I think that's a great historical parallel. Yes, Stephen Furtick would be like today's Charles Finney, but with far more tech-savvy and a lot more charismatic than Finney ever was. I mean, he's taken Finney to a whole new level.
Chris, what are you going to be talking about tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight we're going to be talking about Brian Houston of Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia. Also, we'll be doing a segment on Stephen Furtick as well as Patricia King and the XP Media crowd.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio, all one word, .com. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor James May. You know, a lot of things call themselves missions. You get together, you get on a plane, you take a bus ride out to someplace in South America, and you help people get clean water, or you build some new housing for them, and then you go home. You had a good time. Is that missions? We'll talk about Lutheran missions with Pastor James May right after this.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org.
In a Midwestern town not far away, against the encroaching forces of darkness, theologians gather. Saunders, Kuhlman, Ziegler, Masaki, and more. at Christ for Us in the Office of the Holy Ministry, February 25th through 27th in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Register at acelc.net because...
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Join the cause at acelc.net.